Once again, thank you for rejoining us on the morning show, Futa Radio 93.1 FM. It's now time to talk about trending issues. We'll be asking the important questions so we can get the right answers. And we start things off with what is going on with the aftermath and the effects of the eight-month ASUU strike. Now, Mr. Femi Falano, who's a lawyer for the Academic Staff Union of Universities, has actually appealed to the Speaker of the House of Representatives, Mr. Femi Gbajabiamila, and others, to pressure the federal government to meet the union's demands. You might recall that this was the premise on which the Academic Staff Union of Universities actually called off the strike, calling it, saying that it was based on trust, even as negotiations continue. SEGUN, what do you think about this? Now that the Academic Staff Union has called off the strike, negotiations should still be ongoing. The pressure that Mr. Femi Falano is talking about that should be put on the federal government should be similar to what to the pressure that was put on them during the strike. Or what do you think?
All right. First off, let me celebrate Mrs. Ogundowale. I hope I got that pronunciation right. The wife of one of our ardent listeners. He always takes our time to give us feedback, and of course we appreciate feedback from everyone that listens and takes out time to let us know whatever it is they feel they should let us know. And once in a while we won't have a chance to celebrate us generally, and now specifically we can also do so specifically. So happy birthday to Mrs. Ogundowale. And should I ask where the party is? You people know that I like party jollof and meat especially, so you know that I have asked like that. Now, coming to this ASU thing and what Femi Falano has said, at some point in time, when we got to a point in this conversation, I personally was looking for any means and any excuse that will just make ASU resume.
Yes.
And take the high road. And sincerely forget about getting anything from this administration. Now, this is personal. And I'm not afraid to say it because that is how I feel. That's my opinion after reading, everything that is available. The body language, the ones that have been said, the ones that have not been said, and all the rest of them. I strongly feel that they are not in position. They don't have what it takes to do what needs to be done, over this particular situation. So, and you will see by the actions that they have pulled, the many ways they've approached this. Now, when you go to the point where Femi Falano made a statement that the matter will be resolved, I was like, well, he doesn't make frivolous statements. What does he know that we didn't know? Well, apparently, it was the Gbajabiamila intervention that he was banking on. And based on the last conversation with ASU and Gbajabiamila, trust issues were raised. Like you did mention that a lot of what is happening is based on trust because nothing was signed. Now, for Femi Falano to take the opportunity of giving a lecture in a tertiary institution, to make this appeal, actually means that, as we all know, nothing has been done,
my God,
to resolve any of the very salient issues. To the best of everybody's knowledge, nothing has been done. You understand? So that is the issue. That is the case. That is what we're talking about here. And that is what will move him to openly in the lecture, because he knew that the lecture was going to be captured in newspaper. And he knows that they read these papers sometimes. So, and he knows that part of the ways to get a message across sometimes to, the presidency is to put it in the news. And then that is when they will see it. Just like the finance ministry saw what the CBN was doing in the news as well. So that is how these things work. And don't forget that the thing now is, thank God for electronic platforms. You would have said it would have taken time for them to take the newspaper to the president in the UK to read. But thank God for email and others of them. That may not be necessary. But the way it is right now, there's nothing that is going to happen.
Mm.
Because the person that has the key and the power to happen anything is actually not in position to do so.
Mm.
Because his health is wealth. So right now, every focus is to get him back, you know, on track. So until he comes back, don't worry, don't forget that when he comes back, he will still need to take some time, you know, to still...
Okay.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Then, so, let's okay. just be pushing this thing forward.
All right, no problem. Thank you very much. Now, Padre, what do you think about this whole situation? It's still a dilemma. As Essigon rightly said, the salient issues have still not been addressed. The future is still not secure for both lecturers and students, and there seems to be this, you know, this laid-back approach. Even now that students are back on campus, lecturers as well feeling the brunt of it all, and the salient issues have still not been addressed. What is your take as to the future of what ASUU could do?
Well, I think, number one, it's not a surprise.
Hmm.
Because we know what Nigerian government is all about,
mm.
and especially this administration.
Mm.
We know for how long a lot of people were clamoring, hoping to hear from the horse's mouth,
mm.
that is from the mouth of the number one citizen of this country,
mm.
to the extent that even those, it may not be said publicly or those involved may not want to admit it,
mm-hmm.
it is because of this so-called silence.
Yes.
That some persons took up the responsibility upon themselves to see how this matter could be resolved. But yet, even in the middle of doing that, they still have to bring, or they still had to bring the matter down to his table. And it was presumed, based on what the arbitrator or the adjutor in this matter, that is... Gajabiamila, based on what he told the public,
mm.
it was presumed that these things had been tabled before the president, and it's like his disposition to those proposals were quite okay.
Mm.
And that was why a lot of persons were expecting that he would say something immediately after the strike was called off.
Mm.
The strike had been called off now, it's been almost 21 days.
Mm.
Almost 3 weeks, and we are yet to hear from the horse's mouth.
And my life goes on.
And unfortunately, the horse is not even around. The horse has gone on a journey.
Mm.
And that means that we have to wait further. Anyway, who says that the horse cannot speak from the diaspora? It is possible. And probably it is possible that maybe some persons have been saddled with that responsibility to be done on behalf.
We know
but
that
then
that
let us work. Leave... Let us leave sarcasm apart and let us say it's the way it is. You know, if something had not been done now, had not been done before, and had not been done now, honestly, I don't see anything being done, especially from that side of where the power resides or where the power rests.
Mm.
I think what is best now, or what could be reasonable now, is for ASUU to sit down and re-strategize. And see to how they can have some of their demands met. Because everybody had been talking and saying, yes, even ASUU would say that they had to obey court rulings. But we also know when it comes to court rulings, the disposition of this present administration to court rulings.
Mm.
You can go on Google and just type the court rulings that this administration had not obeyed in the last 7 years.
Mm.
It will be downloaded to you.
Mm.
So even having a court ruling for me is not really going to do anything. Because I remember that part of the things the court said was that go back to negotiate, have a round table talk and see how this matter could be resolved.
Mm.
And then you shouldn't go on strike, you are supposed to resume. And it's been 3 weeks now, there is no negotiation. And I don't think ASUU will be negotiating with itself.
Mm.
It is expected that it is the federal government that should call ASUU to the table to say, okay, how do we go about this thing?
Mm. The federal government took ASUU to court. The federal government should call ASUU to
call ASUU. But maybe probably they are trying to also wield their power to also show that superiority to ASUU.
Mm.
probably to even brag, to say what everything you have done, what has come out of it. And now that they have resumed strike, the federal government is not under pressure to do anything. But then, you know, sometimes you do things based on goodwill. When Bejabi Amila came into this matter, intervened and called ASUU, and ASUU had to reason with him and all of those stuff, it was based on goodwill. And I'm sure that it was even based on the character of the person involved. I hope the Bejabi Amila himself, wherever he is now, I hope in his mind he will not be regretting some of his actions. Because he gave the assurance, even though he was not the one to approve anything. But they gave the assurance that the federal government has a good disposition towards some of these things. Not all, but towards some of these things. You know, one would expect that any reasonable government that understands the implication of what had happened in the last 8 months and what it could result to in months to come would expect that at least some statement should be put out there.
Okay.
Let us also know the stand of the government, where you stand. If you won't say that you are not going to pay this 8 months salary, come out to say it. If it is the case that, okay, I'm going to pay just 2 months out of it, come out to say it.
Okay.
I mean, everybody deserves respect. Yes, we know that, like the Yorubas used to say, you don't go to court and come back, you become friends.
It doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm. So I can understand that aspect when it comes to this tension, this friction, tension between the federal government and ASUU. But I think what ASUU needs to do now is just to sit down and re-strategize, because none of these issues have been solved.
All right.
It's not just about the salaries alone. It's about a whole lot of things.
All right.
And I'm sure that they too, they will be very, very careful in whatever they want to do, and they are going to take their time in doing it. But, you know, I just hope that the leadership of this country will just do what
needs
it is
to be
expected
done. All right.
To do.
All right, no problem. Sake is here as well. Sake, you know, as a parent, you know, talking about this ASUU strike right now and the implications, the impacts, the effects that it has, even up until now, even up until probably next year, you know, what should parents be thinking of right now? Students, what should students be geared up for? Because this will still fall on them. This particular, you know, disagreement or lack of negotiations, the parents and students will still bear the brunt of all this.
You know, we live in a global world, and it's unconscious that we have a set of leaders who are not conscious of how fast-paced development, education, creating opportunities for the young ones are. When you look at the global scale, you see the effect of education. Check UK, check France, check the age of their leaders. They have invested in their youth. And the investment is bringing result. The older one have stayed behind. Not that they are not active.
Yes.
They have pushed forward whatever technology, whatever advancement through education. And they are comfortable enough.
Yes.
But look at Africa. Look at Nigeria especially. Look at our presidential candidate. Look at the average political candidate. They are well over 50. It tells you something. It tells you we have failed. So when we say that we have the future of these nations and our youth, it's a lie. Because we have not invested. Like I said last week, you can Google it. The first 50 university on the ranking, world ranking, Nigeria is not there. We have other African countries. Okay, is it 50? No, I think 6 or 7 first in the African ranking. Nigeria is not there. I think first 10. Nigeria is not there. It's Kenya, it's South Africa, and some other countries. Are you shocked? You shouldn't be. After how many months of strike? And the body language of the president should be clear to everybody. Let nobody be fooled. Let nobody. We saw what Goodluck Jonathan did while the strike was like this. We saw what he said while, before he became president.
Yes.
While ASUU was on strike. So let's not fool each other. This government is not ready to do anything about this. They are not going to do anything. They are pushing, they are holding on to whatever they can hold on to till they hand over. Get the memo, smell the coffee, wake up. That is the reality. They are not ready to do anything. Oh, that they are going to build refinery. Whatever they are doing now is gimmick to keep, you know, everybody at bay till they hand over. Simple.
Okay.
We should get that body language.
All right.
The president would rather travel than sit down at home and solve his problem. He travels at very critical situation. Check the history. Like, anytime there's problem, he's out for the next activity or the other. That's how to rule. It's a lesson in leadership.
Okay.
We must learn that.
All right, no problem. Thank you very much. You're still listening to Trending Issues on Futsal Radio, 93.1 FM. Let's bring it back now to home base SE Gun. Right here in Ondo State, Akeredolu has signed a multi-door courthouse bill into law, according to reports from the Sun newspaper. Now, Akeredolu signed the bill today at the Exco Chamber of the Governor's Office in Alagbaka, Akure, and encouraged the people of the state to explore the alternative that the multi-door courthouse provided. Can you please just explain it to us, you know, what this multi-door courthouse means?
Okay, so the issue of alternative adjudication or alternative justice as a means of conflict resolution, it's something that has been in the works for a while. It's not something that, you know, is new, you know, in any way. So it's something that has been explored. People have studied it as courses and come up with ways to do it. In fact, for people who have spent some time in Ondo State and have had the privilege of watching OSLC in the EO days, you would have had programs like Joko Jogmo, you know, and what's this one? This Olori Ebi Egbonorun, that's the track word there, you know. You know, the broadcaster did a good job of providing that platform to bring alternative resolution to issues. People in Ondo State, Akure to specifically, used to have a lot of issues with landed property. You know, that's a host of the problems. And they will go to this program. Why am I forgetting the name of it? Is it Joko Jogmo? Yes, and then, you know, the matter will be presented. Everyone will present their case. Anyone that needs to be called will be called. And, you know, and they were able to successfully resolve a lot of matters. That's alternative dispute. You know, you can't go to the court because you may not have the money, you may not have the funds, you may not have, you know, the time because of adjournment and readjournment and all the rest of them. So you look for other means. And then Akure people and, of course, any other Yoruba citizen, you know, they have recourse to the king. I've had cases where some people have had to go to the Deji, you know, to resolve issues, you know, when they have issues. So we're supposed to have all these platforms where issues between friends, between family or any whatever, you know, can be resolved. We've had people who go to the church, people who go to the mosque, you know. So what he has done is sign in place a system inside the system. The system already exists. But this time around, let's put it beyond the normal system. Let's encourage people, you know, not to make it a war. You get, because it was it Sake or Father Leo that mentioned you don't take someone to court? No, it was Father Leo. Yoruba saying that you don't come back from a court and still remain friends. And of course, when I looked at the federal government using that tactics of taking Asu to court, I was like, hey, you get my point. And you notice that the court too, even in responding, recommended that you people should take this thing out of court. Because we should have that, because they know how the court process works. The court process can take forever, and some of these issues they are not issues that need forever to be resolved. So let's create a platform where these issues can quickly be attended to. And if we all, because the question here is, do you buy into it? If a lot of people were able to buy into Ijoko Jogmo, and because if you don't buy into it, it will solve the problem.
Yes.
If you don't agree to to what is being brought forward by the people that you have called to adjudicate about the matter, then the matter will not be solved. But apparently, a lot of people bought into, at least we're able to resolve a lot of cases in Ijoko Jogmo. So if we submit to this,
for years, why it aired,
you know, so if we submit to this, it is something that is good.
Okay.
You understand? So that we will not, and this is why I talk about the issue of enlightenment. What he has done is good, is a big deal. But so that we will not get into that mindset of saying again, because Ijoko Jogbo has been doing this before he came on board. And other platforms. So that nobody will now say, this is ingenious, this is innovative, this is whatever. So we have not seen the kind of it before. But it is good. And this is where enlightenment comes in. If you're enlightened, when you see it, you recognize, you acknowledge. There's nothing wrong with acknowledging. It's a good move, but you won't push it beyond, you know, you won't politicize it.
Okay, all right.
You just say, good move.
All right.
But to not turn into a politics and now start bringing out the drums and rolling and no.
All right. Okay, now, do you think, Padre, real quick, that, you know, as Essigone has said, that this move could be politicized?
Well, we know that in this country anything could be politicized. That is it. But then, just coming from where Essigone stopped, because this is ingenious to us. And what I mean by that is that it is indigenous, rather, is that this is what we have been doing even before the Westerners came, before they brought laws and a formal way of doing it. This has been the African way of settling issues. You either start from Olori Ebi, the head of the family. Sometimes you go to the Baale, or Olori Agbole, the head of the neighborhood, or sometimes to the king. Sometimes if you are religious, you take it to your religious leaders and all of those stuff. But one thing or two things I want to state here so that people can also be enlightened a little bit further, and I hope I am correct, and I hope that the legal practitioners out there would also feel that I'm correct. But I think in this case, this one that the governor is signing into law, it means that whatever mode this alternative dispute resolution is coming in, because it could come in different modes. It could be in terms of negotiation, like what we expect to happen between ASUU and the federal government. It could be mediation. It could be there is one or two, like two other forms that it could come in, different forms, depending on the matter you are bringing. And it could be a whole lump sum of all these modes put together. But in this regard, whatever resolution is achieved at that decision, it is bound by the law. So it means that you have to do it, whatever you have been asked to do, and everybody agrees on it. It's just like when you take a matter to the court and the judge gives a verdict.
Okay.
You cannot go against the verdict except you want to seek further trial on it. And I hope I am correct, because we may be asking, so why is it being signed into law if this is something we have been doing before? You see, and the other thing I want to say also relates with it. Over the years, our legal system is overcrowded. Judges, magistrates, justices, everybody is complaining. Is overcrowded, and over the years people have always been conversing for ADR, alternative dispute resolution, because it also has its own effect on our prisons. I have had few occasions to go to prison in matters like this with illegal.
Let's just clarify that visit prisons.
Yes, prisons. Sorry, thank you. I have been able to go on a visit to prisons. Thank you for that, so that people will not misconstrue that with illegal organization. And you just have to see a lot of persons that are not even supposed to be called prisoners. They are there on detention. They are not yet. They have not seen trial. They have not gone to the court with a lawyer to defend themselves, or to even plead guilty. because they are just lumped there. For instance, if you come to my house, if you burgle my house, let's say as a neighbor or the child of a neighbor burgles my house, I have the right to take him to court. It's a criminal offense. And by the time he gets to court and the judge does not grant him bail, he stays there until when that matter is resolved. But even that same case could be resolved. You are neighbors. Okay, let us have restitution. Whatever he has stolen,
return.
You have to return it. Whatever you have destroyed, you have to repair it. And it could be settled even in alternative dispute resolution. But if you take that same matter to the court, that guy may be in the prison until when the verdict is finally given. And you know lawyers, too, they have all this their trickish way of elongating and doing a lot of things with law. So this one is very, very good, and I hope people can embrace it. It is simple, it is quick, it is less expensive. But then I think the core of the matter, like signing it as a bill, is the fact now that whatever decision is reached at that resolution is binding on you. It's just like when something is given to you at the court, you have to do that thing.
Okay, thank you very much. Now, Saki, do you agree with Padre?
I agree absolutely, and I just want to say that there's a lot of work to be done. And I see the point that Esigon was trying to raise, that you see we should not make this a big deal, because you see, look, if we look at our court system, no, there's a lot, people don't even want to go there. That's the reason many people fall prey to police, and the police becomes both prosecutor and
executioner.
And what do they call it? And judge.
And executioner.
Executioner. Because people know that trivial cases can take years. You can be frustrated going to court. And I think those are the things we should do. A traffic case should be done within 31 hours, but not in Nigeria. A traffic case, you park your car, Okada hit you, go to police, may take months, years in Nigeria. Car will be locked up in police station. Okada, and that's their means of livelihood. And that's why people don't believe in the system. And that's why corruption thrives. So people would rather bribe out their way. Not because they are guilty, but because they know that the court process will take forever. I mean, not even be favorable at the end of the day.
But we see cases in the US, for example, where court cases are resolved very speedily, very quickly. Why is it different?
It's our system. It's the way we set up our system.
Everything is hard in this country.
Everything is hard. Difficult.
To study, it is hard. To live, it is hard. To even work, it is everything. We make everything to be hard in this country. That's the truth.
All of us do that.
Okay. Thank you very much. Very, very interesting take on this. I'm a little bit more enlightened now as to some of the matters that we have discussed, especially this multi-door arrangement. Now, Esigon, let's come to matters of insecurity, which is something I know that you do not really like talking about, but it's something that we have to all be concerned about. Now, you might recall in the past that the governor of Benue State, Samuel Autumn, was calling for people to be self-armed, to carry weapons of their own. And now, the deputy minority leader of the House of Representatives, Toby Okechukwu, it seems to be re-echoing that, according to blogs coming out, especially Linda Cage's blog, seems to be re-echoing that, saying that, telling the federal government actually to allow Nigerians to carry arms if insecurity persists.
Well, it is sad that we're having this conversation. One of the first earliest people to actually move this point is General T.Y. Danjuma, retired. He said it recently. Yes, he mentioned it recently. He still stood on that point.
And
he said years back.
You know, so, and when this matter was first mooted, just like we always say, you don't use guns to solve gun issues. You don't.
Not in a society like this.
Not in a society like this. You don't want to arm your citizens.
Not in a society.
Not especially at this time. Not with the situation of the economy, not with the prevailing and pervading frustration that the average Nigerian is going through and experiencing.
And not with the level of enlightenment.
Yeah, exactly. Not with the level of enlightenment. Not with the level of ignorance that is there. So you don't want to arm people. You know, but people's lives must be secured. It's the responsibility of the government. So as much as I understand where the people that are suggesting you know, self-harm, self-help are coming from, because of course in every other area too it's been self-help, power, water, roads, a lot of things, you know, it's been self-help. So people will say, why not, you know, arms? So it's a valid conversation, it's a valid talking point. Yes, a valid talking point. And the fact that it keeps cropping up, you know, should actually be making us ask ourselves why we are having these conversations. But the powers that be, the people that have what it takes to actually resolve this, this is the best that we have. Because if you talk, they will say that the military has been properly equipped to handle the issues. And you see, I will go again. See, I will say it because that is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. There's nothing you can do about that. When you have the military spearheading our policing, it is wrong. It is wrong. It is absolutely wrong. But we will not hear. The other day when the advisory were released by different countries to their citizens, and then they said they had meeting with security chiefs and all the rest of them, the next thing we saw was Nigerian Army coming up with a video of his men assuring the citizens that you people can go to bed, we will do it for you, you understand, and all the rest of them. And I'm like, where is the police? So you see, rather than do community policing, which is what should be the response to all this, not as if it will clear it away immediately, but at least we'll be able to, just like Father Leo pointed out, these authoritative dispute resolution are things that we have been doing before court system came into place, and we're able to do it effectively then. And the same to community policing as well. We had the hunters in charge of security, but you know, in the communities. And then when it comes to the issue of war, it was the hunters too that prosecuted it at that point in time. But we had those that were more at home and those that go out to war, led by the Balogun. But head of hunters will be in charge of homeland security. Balogun will be in charge of external forces, foreign whatever, if my memory serves me right, as far as Yoruba historical perspective is concerned. You get my point. So it's sad that we're having this conversation. But like I said, these are conversations that we continue to have as long as the status quo remains the same.
Okay.
And the status quo cannot be shifted unless we have the right people in place.
Okay.
And the right people cannot be put in place except they are put in place by the right people. And we cannot be the right people if we are not one operating on that level of superior knowledge, and if we are not involved, if we are just there discussing and, you know, just hoping to japa, because everybody now is just hoping to japa. That's the conversation that is ongoing. You go out on the street and people are like, you're still around. That is what you hear up and down. If I were to make money on people asking me if I was still around, I should have been a billionaire within the last 2 weeks on this issue.
All right. Thank you very much. Now, Padre, considering the fact that bandits have reportedly abducted 39 children in Kasina Farm, and all the insecurity issues that we have been discussing, do you agree with the minority leader on this particular issue, or that do you agree, rather, that it is a valid topic?
You see, desperation is a whole lot of things. Sometimes when you are frustrated, you can go off point because you just want to do something to solve that matter.
Yes.
At that point in time. By the time you take that decision, you will see that you have only attended to that issue on a temporary basis. You have not given it a long-lasting solution. So after a while, it's like when somebody is thinking or you are going through some kind of personal challenges and you feel that the next thing to do is to be drunk. For that moment that you are drunk, you can forget all your worry. That is if you don't put yourself in more trouble anyway, in that state of stupor.
Mm.
But let's say you were lucky not to put yourself in any further trouble. By the time you sleep, you have your hangover. By the time you wake up, you are back to the reality.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is what is happening with this statement.
Mm.
See, when it comes to, you don't use violence to solve violence. That is one thing we need to understand. And I think that is also what Esigo was trying to say, that you don't use gun to solve gun issues. See, we have some countries today that they are trying to come out of gun violence in recent time.
Mm.
America is one of it, even though they have not yet taken the action. But the likes of Australia, the likes of New Zealand,
UK.
The likes of UK, Canada, even Canada recently, they are changing their gun laws because they know what they are facing. So somebody cannot be coming out of a problem and we are thinking of going into that same problem because we have a bigger issue to deal with. No. Whatever is happening around the world today when it comes to gun violence is enough to teach anybody lessons. And then we are also dealing with a country where the system is not as good as those countries.
Mm-hmm.
In America today, if you handle a gun, it can be traced back to you. It can be traced, your fingerprint alone can be traced back to you. With your fingerprint, they can get almost everything about you. We don't have such system here. I have seen cases in a crime scene that I have seen cases or a case, a crime scene, in fact, cases, crime scene polluted by the so-called security agents.
Mm-hmm.
You can imagine in a place where a shooting took place and the security agent is using the bare hands to pick the casing of a bullet.
Yes, that's Nigeria.
We are in a system where even the so-called security agents, with all due respect, many of them are not enlightened of how they need to carry out their work.
Mm.
And it is not their fault because that is the system in which they were put in. When they say people go to police academy, what do they teach them apart from learning how to shoot? How many of our police officers can operate with the computer in the world? How many of them are tech savvy? This is what you don't see in other countries. So the system is completely different. So our system is not even as good as their system. If as good as their systems are, they are still facing gun violence issue, then we should not even go near it. We should not even smell it. We are living in a country where we are not even confident to find a gun in the hand of a security agent, someone who by law should have the technical know-how and has the authority backing him to hold a rifle. We live in a country where we don't even trust them holding a rifle.
Mm.
The moment we see them holding a rifle, our body system changes.
Mm.
We are scared.
Mm.
We are like, okay, whatever you say, I will just do, because we know what could result from that situation.
All right.
We live in a country where almost everybody is frustrated. Even when we drive, see the way we shout on one another.
Mm.
See the way we react.
Okay.
So imagine we now have citizens holding guns.
Okay.
See, what we need to do, our leaders, they know. Is either they don't know or they know they are not ready to do it. If you look, if you check the countries that have low crime rates in the world.
All right.
The likes of Japan, Switzerland, Netherlands, Denmark, Iceland. One of the things that favors them, if a few out of them, is just because they don't have much population. But for others, how were they able to arrive at it? It's about social engineering. If you provide education, if you provide health, if you provide jobs for people, who is going to be thinking of carrying guns?
Right.
Look at what we are dealing with in our country today. Many of these bandits are there because they are not educated. Mm. They have been brainwashed. Somebody has come to tell them what they are not supposed to do, and they took it hook, line, and sinker.
Mm.
We are in the problem we are today because some people have resorted into crime because they have nothing to do. Some have resorted into crime, cyber crime, for instance, because the schools are always under lock and keys. So until when we get our social engineering right and we take care of our security at architecture, this decentralization we have been talking about, this restructuring we are talking about, we have to go to it. These are the things that we need to do to solve this problem. These are the things that will provide a long-lasting solution.
All right.
So me having a gun, yes, okay. Even though somebody coming to me to attack me may be a coward, because the moment he sees me with a gun, he may run. But what are other things? How are you sure that if I have that gun, I cannot use it to go and rob another person or to even use it to commit a crime?
Okay. So, very, very valid point, Padre. Thank you very much. Sake, real quick, because of time, what do you think?
I agree with my friends that we don't have the basic social consciousness and moral and educational and economical to say that everybody should own a gun. I don't think it can operate in this society. But I just want to say that the most unfortunate aspect of this is that when you refuse to admit you have a problem, then the resolve to solve it becomes, you know, difficult. The greatest challenge of leadership here is that we refuse to accept that there's a problem. So we try to paint it. Imagine if the police headquarters is inside where we are now, and you want to safeguard all of Nigeria. And then we send people there. It doesn't work. What about time? You don't have helicopters. You don't have technology backing you up. This our central system is an illusion that should wear out. And the realization of it being where is facing us on a daily basis. We say that we have forensic experts and all that. Okay, maybe they're in Abuja. And something takes place in Ilara. How many days will it take them in Nigeria? Do they have special aircraft? They move by themselves, or they are going to come through the flood road? What? So we have lapses, and these lapses are staring at us every day,
single day,
and we refuse to adjust to the system. We have ourselves to blame.
All right. Simple. Thank you very much, Padre, for that particular one. Esigun, let's get back to you on this. The Minister of Agriculture and Rural Development, talking about Dr. Mohammed Abubakar, has said, according to reports coming from Information Nigeria, has disclosed that there won't be a food shortage in the coming months due to flooding in the country. Is he saying this because it seems like the Hamatan season, the dry season, might be coming in? Or does he have another reason? Because we have seen that these floods have, during the period when they were rampant, destroyed entire farms.
Well, I can look at this angle from the angle of being a prophetic declaration. Now, don't forget that one of the strong points, or one of the things that we have seen in recent times, is the art of prophecy that has become rampant amongst government functionaries. Now, what I'm saying that is, yes, what you say is important. You really need to be able to say the right things, you know, confess positively, you know. But you see, when we talk about positive confession or faith declarations, which I prefer, you see, faith declaration is actually not hinged on zero. It has a foundation. The faith confession I'm making is based on God's integrity to his word. So I am making faith declarations because God has given me a word and I'm judging him faithful. Just like Mary received a word and she kept it in her heart and judged God faithful and believed that Elizabeth pointed out, you know, that wow, you are blessed because you believed in the Lord. So now she now made the faith declaration and give God praise. Now, that is a different premise. It's because you're actually looking at something. So, when we talk about faith, faith does not work on zero. There's something behind faith, and which is what is behind prophecy. Now, but in this case, I looked at all the parameters, looked at all the issues, because unfortunately, we are not data-driven. Oh, yes, about 600 people lost their lives. Over 40,000 farmlands, thereabouts, destroyed. Houses destroyed and all the rest of them. And then we have some critical infrastructure.
Deficit.
Critical infrastructure. What I mean critical, at least I know someone that this is close home, that is not able to go to work in Bayelsa, you know, because of that situation. Fishing is going to definitely be an issue. So when we now have people make statements like this, you ask yourself, based on what? Is there something that they know that we don't know? Because the truth is, we too, we can't know it all. They are the ones that are there. They know what they are saying. That is giving them the strength and resolve to say what they are saying. So I will just hang it there.
Okay.
Yes, no because problem. Let's just... Yeah.
Now, just because of time, let's come to Padre on this one. And you have to be real quick on this one, Padre. We are getting reports, according to the Nigerian Tribune, that the EFCC has raided Abuja Forex Traders' offices, you know, to arrest this drastic naira slide. And Punch is actually reporting that the EFCC plans, to raid the Forex traders or Forex dealers, whatever the case. Maybe you might recall that the EFCC actually backed the CBN, on the redesigning of the Naira. Now, do you think that what is the priority here? Is it beautifying the Naira or increasing the value of the Naira?
Well, I am not an economist, but I did a little bit of economics in school.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I understand is that once there is scarcity of a thing, the cost is going to rise because people are going to capitalize on the fact that you have no other option than to pick that particular thing at that particular spot. So if there's anything I call, because human factors come to play into this,
okay,
as you understand. Now, for me, as a common man in terms of economics, what I understand is that while we are having this problem of scarcity of the foreign currency is the fact that, number one, the CBN had decided not to sell Forex to people, especially business owners, those who have genuine reason. For instance, the petroleum marketers, for instance, the manufacturers. And now, when they don't get it from the legitimate source, you have given somebody an opportunity
To make profit
out of it. And the person is telling them, come, I have it. See, if you want to stop this thing, now people who even have domiciliary accounts, you will go to bank. The money you put there yourself, whether through cash on the counter or it was transferred to you from abroad, it is your money. You will go to bank. Bank will be telling you they do not have. So in the first place, why did you tell me, come and open a domiciliary account with you? At the end, some of them will be begging you, can we convert it to Naira for you? For God's sake, you don't know what I want to use my money for.
It's mine.
It is mine, and I can do whatever I want to do with it. What if I want to use it for business transaction, and whatever transaction I'm going to use it for is in foreign currency or whatsoever? Anyway, let's leave that apart. It's even going too far. The point I'm trying to make is this.
Right.
You have made this thing to be scarce. And once you make it to be scarce, it's going to be a problem. And we feel that these BDC operators are the problem of the Nigeria. They may be part of the problem, no doubt.
Yes.
Because look at the way the value had fallen. But when it comes to money drives the economy. And for you to get a good value of money, your economy must be booming.
Okay.
We are a nation of consumerism. We are not productive oriented.
All right.
We are consuming oriented.
Okay.
And in as much as we don't solve many of these matters, if for instance now, yes, like I said, I am not an economist. Maybe I'm just talking as a layman. If for instance now, maybe CBN makes these things to be there. Those who want to go to school, you can get from CBN. Those who want to travel, you can get from CBN. Why should I go to another place to be changing it?
All right.
When I know that I can get it from a legitimate source, and that legitimate source is available.
At the normal rate.
At the normal rate. So why would I go out there to all be right. doing something else?
Okay. So that's so. Okay, just quickly.
I think it's a deliberate government. Okay. You know, that foreign currency is not accessible by legal people in the state. And that created a parallel market.
All right.
That makes corruption to thrive.
All right.
And affected Naira negatively.
All right. Thank you very much. That's all we can take on this trending issues for today on The Morning Show. Of course, News on the Globe is up next. Just stay tuned.
This.